Welcome to SOMA, where we believe that life is better together. We exist so that you can know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Join us as we hear from our pastor, Michael Strickland.
Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather today, God. We come to you as your church, and we're just full of hope. We're full of expectation in this season. And we're grateful. We're grateful for some of the things that you taught us over the past 14 weeks. We're grateful that we can come together, and I pray that we would have a posture of humility today. I pray you'd lift the head of every single person today that's gathering in this house, everybody who's listening to this message later, so that we can see you, your truth put on display in your word, your character, your promises to every single person in this room. And I pray in the midst of all that's going on in the world around us, that we would find joy. So I'm praying for people who feel marginalized. I'm praying for people who feel broken. I'm praying for people who feel less than. God, I'm praying for people who are struggling with social injustice. I'm praying for our frontline workers. God, I'm praying for people who are protesting in the streets. And I'm praying for our educators. I'm praying for our medical personnel. I'm praying that you would be with us. Those that lead businesses in the area, God, I'm praying you'd have your hand on every bit of it. Help us to see you in this season. Help us to humble ourselves in this season. Help us to be kingdom-minded, less about a nationality, less about a political ideology, more about being in you, Jesus. And so I pray for those of us that need to be reminded of how much you love us and how much you're for us, that we get that today. Excited to be together as your church. We're so grateful for this moment, me in particular. Lord, we love you. And it's in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen. You could air high-five somebody across the room. If you see somebody you like, you ain't seen them in a while, stare at them for about 7 seconds right now. Make it real awkward. It's great. Man, you came back. That's awesome. Yeah, it's so great. Hey, I don't want to come across as the leader who can't read the room, come across as the leader who's a little bit tone deaf, talking about things that really aren't, you know, in everybody's... It feels like this season's been hard for me because I've been trying to build content based on what I felt like would feed our church family, but it feels like every week something new pops off, you know what I'm talking about? Like every week... I saw a post somebody said, okay, I'm going out of my house today. I'm going to figure out what day of the book of Revelation we're living today. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, what is going on? So we're in the middle of a global pandemic, right? There's protesting about racial inequality and social injustice, and rightly so. There's a lot of people who are upset. But in the aftermath of that, there's a lot of people who are serving on the front lines who feel undervalued, underloved, and there's a lot of people on both ends of this thing. And I just want to encourage you, we're gonna build a series to talk about all that's going on currently, but we're not going to do it today, right? So I want to invite other people to speak into that who have a different lived experience than me, who can serve you better with their words than I can serve you. And also, I think it's important to have a season of prayer, a season of separation, a season of really just staring at it and going, God, just humbly going, okay, God, what do you want me to say so I can serve people and not just knee-jerk reaction to everything going on, okay? If that makes sense. But we got a series coming up, and it's going to be on kingdom. And it's all about how you and I are part of that and our allegiances lie there and less towards any of the other things that we tend to focus on. So I want to get that out of the way right out the gate. But it just feels like this season, everybody, like every time you say something, somebody has something back to say. You know what I'm talking about? You got to be careful about what you say today. Family members and friends and all kinds of people. I'm going to give you application right out the gate, okay? We're going to do a series called Choose Joy. Application number one, stop posting things on Facebook. Just stop. Just don't post anything. Just get off of it. Turn off the news, turn off Facebook, and just stop for a season. Read your Bible, okay? And there you go, first application. But I saw this thing the other day. It was hilarious. This is the climate in which we're in. This is like the social place in which we're in. Somebody said, man, I feel like if I post that I like mangoes over oranges, somebody that I've never even met before gonna jump on and say, well, does that mean you hate oranges? And you just say nothing about pineapples, bananas, or grapes, educate yourself. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's kind of the space that we're in where everything feels really polarizing. And you know, like I said, every day it's like a new thing. How much more can we add to the spicy gumbo that is 2020? Like, every day it's like, what's happening? But Jesus speaks to this moment in scriptures. As a matter of fact, Jesus' first message out the gate. So he fasts for 40 days in the desert, starts his earthly ministry. And when he comes out of that, the book of Luke tells us he comes out of that and he goes to the synagogue. And his very first public message to his home crowd is they hand him the scrolls. They hand him the scriptures. And back in the day, what they did was they handed you the scriptures and it was already determined as to what you were going to preach on whenever you got there. So Jesus gets there and they hand him Isaiah 61. And Jesus fulfills that prophecy. And so he starts off, this is how we're going to start off today. He says this. This is Jesus' first message. He reads this. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." That's important. If you've got a marker, highlighter, pen, something like that. Actually, you don't even have paper. What am I talking about? Y'all just put it in your notes on your phone, okay? And then he says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." And so Jesus, he opens up this scroll and he reads this passage of scripture in Isaiah 61. And in doing so, what he does is he says, "Hey, all of this points to me. I fulfilled the prophecy today." As a matter of fact, that's what he says in this passage in Luke. He says, "Today this prophecy has been fulfilled. I'm standing here." And so Jesus, he comes to bring several things I want to point out in this passage that he touches on. He says, "I came to bring good news to the poor." And he's not talking about the economically poor, although there's good news for that too. But he says, "I came to bring good news for the spiritually poor. I came that those of you who feel broken, for those of you who need grace, for those of you who need to find forgiveness, I came that you could know God." And so the second thing that he says in this passage, he says, "I came to proclaim liberty to the captive." And Jesus is saying, "Hey, I came so that you could find freedom. If you're carrying things around, baggage and sin and brokenness, I came so that you could be freed from those things." And then he says, "I came to exchange beauty for ashes." In other words, my narrative is a redemptive narrative. I came for reconciliation. I came to put you back the way that you were originally designed. I came so that you can have the abundant life. I came so that you could discover your purpose. And then he goes on, he says, "They shall rebuild the old ruins." So those who experience this, right? Those who experience this good news, those who experience this freedom, those who experience this purpose, here's what happens. "They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up and repair these cities." And Jesus is saying, "I want you to make a difference in the world around you." It sounds familiar. He's know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives of the people around you. And so I want you to look at verse 3 in chapter 61. It says this, all of that kind of wrapped in this phrase. He says, "I want to give you the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." The oil of joy in the midst of mourning, and praise in a season where everything feels heavy. And if you're like me, this season has felt heavy. It's just everything to me feels heavy. It feels, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of unknowns. You wake up every single day. The economy's been hit. People are sick. Racism is still a problem. The most polarizing political climate that I can remember in my lifetime. Things are, and we're in an election year, so buckle your seatbelts, right? So we're headed into it. But God says, "I'm going to let you have joy in the middle of your troubles, but you have to choose it." So it's not just an emotive. It's not just a feeling. Your actions lead and your feelings follow. And he says, "I want you to choose joy. I want you to get your minds right, your hearts right. I want you to humble yourselves and be reminded that joy is a choice." And that's what we're going to prove over the course of these next 4 weeks. There's four every week. We're going to come at it from a different angle, a different choice that you and I get to make. And so we've been talking in the book of Acts up to this point, really, about this guy in the book of Acts. Many of you know him, the Apostle Paul. To me, in Scripture, God's got the best attitude considering his circumstances and his environment. Which joy is that? Joy is that thing that regardless of my circumstances and regardless of my environment, regardless of where I find myself, like my joy is not subject to that. It's not subject to my pain and my suffering and my circumstances. And Paul, he lives that out. We talked about it. But he gets shipwrecked. And then he bobs in the sea for about a day and a half. And then he finally makes it up. He's like, I'm alive. He gets to land. He gets up on the land and a snake bites him. It's like, come on, man. Right? And then, but this guy, he got, you know, the lashes that Jesus received before he goes to the cross. So 39 lashes that Jesus received before he takes the cross to Calvary. Paul received those five times. Five times, the scripture says. He was stoned, like with rocks. He was stoned, right? So like all these things in scripture, Paul's telling us, he's just this mental Jedi. Doesn't matter what you throw at him, joy in the midst of all of that. 2 Corinthians 6:10, this is how Paul puts it. This is like my verse for this series. I love it. Paul says, I'm sorrowful, yet I'm always rejoicing. I'm poor, yet I'm making many rich. How great is that? I have nothing, yet I possess everything. And so Paul's a guy who decides that he's going to choose joy. And over the next few weeks, we're talking about four choices that we can make. And if we actually apply it and listen, we can have victory and we can have joy regardless of your circumstances. Let me tell you this. So much of our life is spent pursuing things that we don't actually need. You don't need them. Like God has already graced your life with everything that you need to live the call out that he has on your life. And you can live and you can walk in that right in the middle of that life with the greatest amount of joy if you'll choose it. And so the first choice that we have in this series we're going to talk about is pray first. We're going to talk about prayer today. So if you got notes, you can write that down. Pray first. Here's how we say it at SOMA. Prayer is our first response. It's not our last resort. And so before you have that hard conversation with somebody, you want to pray, right? You want to pray first. Before you go to work, you want to pray. Before you send that email response, come on, you want to pray about that. Before you get home from work and you've just been stressed out and frustrated, but you got to go in the door and you got to shut work down, and now all of a sudden you got to be dad, you got to be husband, you got to love and serve your family, right? You got to pray first. Before you reply on social media, before you post that thing on social media, yeah, pray first. And a lot of times what happens when you pray first, you realize this is a waste of my time. What am I doing? I'm not going to send this. It's stupid. And so pray first. Anytime you're getting ready to get the business, this is just a life hack, okay? So it's your spouse is upset at you, or your boss is upset at you, or you know I'm going into a conversation that's going to be so hard because they're just going to rip me, right? When you go in, they're angry, just say, hey, I want to have this conversation with you, but can I pray for us real quick? Can I pray for us first? Right? And then just pray, Lord, let's just help speak life over one another in this space, God. You know, like, if you just give us the words to say, right? Just tee them up that way. Got them. Okay? So, like, you just rob them of the opportunity to, it may work and it may backfire, but either way, you prayed, right? So pray first. Prayer is our first response, not our last resort. Philippians 4 is where we're going to be today. And it's the chapter in Philippians that just talks about having this mindset of joy. And so Paul, he gives us the anecdote. He says this in verses 4 through 5. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I'll say it again, rejoice. Which is a great Israel Houghton song. If you've never heard that, you'll need to Google it, okay? Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evidence to all. The Lord is near. I love that last part. And we glaze over that. We talk about rejoice and having like a heart of joy. But that part about let your gentleness be evidence to all. Sometimes I forget that part. And so the Apostle Paul, he writes this letters to the Philippians, but he does it while he's in prison. And so Paul's in prison, but it's not like, you know, it's not like minimum security. Hey, do you want to go play ping pong? Do you want to go outside and shoot some hoops? We got a wood shop. Like, it's not that kind of thing. It's like ancient Rome prison, you know what I mean? And it's kind of like dark and damp and, oh yeah, I'm chained to a dude, and like it's that kind of setup. And Paul says, hey, rejoice. What are you talking about? He says, rejoice, man, in the Lord always. And so, and I love that word rejoice, because to me, like when I break it down, it's like rejoy, as if to say, hey, you're going to have to keep doing this. You're going to have to keep coming back to it. Joy is a mindset and a thing that you have to do over and over again. And so Philippians 4, it connects joy and prayer so well. It outlines five things that I think if we apply to our lives, to think about it and apply it to our lives, it'll change the game. The first one is this: prayer replaces worry. So when we pray, it replaces worry. So some of us, we're in a lot of stress. We're in a lot of pressure in this season. If we're being honest, all of us are in that space. Graduations are just really, graduations are weird. You know what I'm talking about? Like, amen. Like, it's just, God bless all of our graduates. Can we give it up for all of our graduates? This is the first time we've gotten together for any of our... Right, but everything just feels a little bit off. Work is hard, and being with people is hard, and graduation's hard, and school, God bless all the moms and dads who became homeschoolers. You know what I'm talking about? Last 3 months, Jesus help us get back in the fall. Come on. But Paul says, all of us are under a lot of pressure and stress, and he says, but you can have joy in the middle of that. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. And then right after that, he says, but in everything, pray. And the thing that happens when we worry is, what happens when I'm worrying is I'm giving my emotions to the future. Like, I'm spending my emotions on something that hasn't even happened yet. That's what worry is. Worry is when I'm thinking through hypotheticals, and COVID is a great example of this, right? This is where we live. I'm thinking through all the hypotheticals and all the things that could happen. And so I worry about them there. But here's the crazy thing. Even if they do happen, now you've worried about them twice. Like, I worried about them back here, and now I got to worry about them when I'm in the middle of it. And I'm not saying don't be prepared. I'm not saying don't do your part for you and I to prepare and steward things. I'm just saying Scripture tells us, don't worry, hand that over to God. Prayer is the way to get rid of things. Matthew 6:34, Jesus says this, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, especially in this season. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so I want you to think about this. What we worry about the most reveals where we trust God the least. The things that I spend my emotional equity on are the areas where I have an idol in my life. And I have some things that I really don't trust God, whether that's in my health or whether that's in my finances or whether that's in my relationships. You fill in the blank with whatever you struggle with. Where I trust Him the least is usually where I worry the most. And so it's a great qualifier for it. Think about that. And prayer, it robs us of that worry. Second thing is that prayer relinquishes control. It's a posture of humility to say, I give up. Your hands are up. You're like, listen, I can't handle it. Philippians 4:6-7, it says, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So there's a couple things. I'm supposed to have a grateful heart as I do it, but also I've got to just let go of it, whatever it is, whatever I'm struggling with, whatever I'm worrying about. And I know it's hard because this is the hard part for me in all of this passage. And so sometimes we pray and we present our requests to God in such a way that I'm really specific with my prayers. Like, I'm trying to back God into a corner. Like, Lord, I need you to show up in this area of my life, but also if you could do it by this date, come on, and in this way, that would be great, Lord. You know, if you could just handle this situation in this way, and God's going, man, I got such a better plan for your life. Don't try and push me into a corner, back me into a corner. And so don't be let down when you thought that what would happen doesn't happen. And the whole goal in prayer is to replace worry with joy. And so I'm tired of worrying about it. It's not that I'm done doing my part by pursuing a resolution. It's that I'm letting go and I'm letting God take over. Here's, Paul goes on. He says, and the peace of God, this is verses 6-7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is going to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so when you let go, when you finally get to a place where you go, all right, I give up. I'm at the end of myself. You do it. Paul says, hey, I've been there over and over and over again. And when you get to that place, peace sets in. The peace that transcends all understanding sets in. And I let go. But sometimes we don't let go. Sometimes we want to pray a prayer, but then we want to hold on to the thing. Maybe you've worked for somebody. Maybe you've had a boss before and they hand you a project at work. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they're like, hey, Bill or whoever, would you be in charge of this thing at work? And you're like, yeah, I got it. And so boss comes back later and really wants to kind of micromanage the situation, if you know what I'm talking about. And it's like, do you have this or do I have this? Like, who has this problem? And sometimes our prayers are like that. We'll go, God, I want you to show up in my life. But then we try and do things, right? That instead of letting go and letting Him resolve the situation, we're trying to do things and manage the situation. He's going, it doesn't work that way. You got to let go. You got to hand it to me. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So throw the whole weight of your anxieties on Him. If you're carrying it, You don't have to carry it. Romans 15, 13, it says this. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. How? As you trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope. And this is huge, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So how do I do it? How do I find peace? How do I live in joy? By trust. How do I get there? I got to remind myself. How do I remind myself? I pray. But ultimately, how does God do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're coming out of the book of Acts. Listen, if you're not spirit-filled, like if you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, all of it's hard. None of it's easy, right? But it's impossible without God empowering the whole thing. And so he says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the third thing that we see is that prayer regulates my thinking. It regulates my thinking. So it keeps me from worry. And then I got to let go. I got to let go of control. But then it actually changes my mind. So I'm going to hammer a few things real quick. Some of the things that you and I feed ourselves in this day, some of the sensory media output, like some of the things that we watch, things that we listen to, those things matter. Right? And in 14 weeks where all we had to do, it was like a 2 or 3 week period where it felt like, bro, all we do is watch Netflix. Like, you know, like we got to be careful about what we put in. Okay? You got to be careful about what you watch. Got to be careful about what you listen to on multiple fronts. Because a lot of it is garbage. It's just garbage. It's not life-giving at all. Things that are said, things that are done, things that you're watching, you're like, I'm an adult. I can filter. Bull. No, you can't. That's in you, right? And so, and then if you add on top of that, like, if you're like me, every day you're just checking, okay, cool. How many people died today? How many people have it now? Where's the unrest at? Who shot who? Right? And if you add all of those things over time, man, I'm just telling you, that is your mindset. That's your mindset. And so he's saying the way to get around that is to make sure. Here's what he says in verse 8. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, think about those things. Yes. Put it on your refrigerator, put it on your forehead. Like just, man, that's what I need to think about. I need to think about things that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable. Think about those things. And so, because what happens is over time, God changes the way that I think about the world and the people around me. All of a sudden, I go from having just a selfish Michael mindset, which is real. Ask my wife. Like, just my own humanity. And then I'm praying about things, and God helps me to see people and helps me see situations differently. That's what it looks like. Prayer is not me changing the mind of God. Prayer is changing my mind. God changes my mind in prayer. I don't adjust his sails. He has a plan. It's really just me aligning with what he has for me. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, aim at heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. And so prayer isn't having heaven come down. It's elevating my own mind to align with the mind of God. That's what it looks like. And so prayer, it regulates my thinking. The next thing that it does, and this is the fourth thing, band, you guys can come on up. Prayer reveals my contentment. It reveals my contentment. And so after I submit my request to God and I start to realize all I have is all I need. Have you ever done that? Like, have you ever prayed for God to show up in a specific area of your life and then it doesn't work out the way that you thought it was going to work out, and then it works out better than what you thought, right? You asked for a specific thing and it didn't come through and you were all in your feelings, and then something else happened and it was better than what you had anticipated. Am I the only one? Me and Garth Brooks, we're the only people. You know what I'm talking about? Like, because all I have is all I need. Like, everything that I need to live the life that God wants for me to live and to have a successful, joy-filled life, he's given me. He's given me all of that. So I can be content. And God gives us, he gives us a way to reframe our life with prayer. He says, give me your worry. Give me your stress. Give me your anxiety. Come to me and I'll make what you've been carrying light. I'll take that weight, that burden that you weren't even graced. You weren't even created to carry it. You're not even graced to carry it. You can't carry it. Paul puts it this way. He says this in verse 12. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He says, pray. Pray. Go to God in prayer. Submit your request to him. He'll take your anxiety and your worry. And he'll give you a peace that passes understanding. He'll give you a contentment that sets in. And we all know this because sometimes where we experience the most peace and the most joy are not in moments where we were pursuing a certain thing, right? Whether that was a certain pay grade or a car or a you know, an address or more followers on Instagram or whatever you're pursuing, right? Like when we get the thing that we thought was going to bring us joy, it doesn't bring us joy. A lot of times the things that bring us joy are when we just have a sense of contentment and a sense of peace that all that we have is all we need. Like it's the small moments. I want you to think about that. Man, I'm doing some soul searching in this season. I want you to think about it and apply it to your own life. Point five. Prayer relies on God. It relies on God. So it robs us of worry. It helps us to let go. It helps us to relinquish control of a situation. It helps us to change the way that we think about the world around us, change our minds, and it reveals contentment. But prayer also relies on God. Prayer is a posture of humility that says, prayer literally is this, I can't. I need you. That's prayer. Prayer is, God, I need you. There's no one else to turn to. I'm praying to you because you're it. There's nobody else who can heal. There's nobody else who can, there's no one else who's sovereign, has his hand on all of it and can heal our land. There's no one else who can help us relationally. There's nobody else. And so we go to him in prayer. We say, God, I need you. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and my God will meet all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, I've lived it. I've been through it. Paul's saying, I can go through anything with Jesus. To live is Christ and to die is gain for Paul. And he said, I can train, I can pray, I can submit myself, I can hold such a posture of humility. But here's how Paul does it. Paul does all that he does when it comes to choosing joy because Paul has two things that we talked about in the series of Acts. He has the reality of the resurrection of Jesus, and he has the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. He saw Jesus, and it changes things when you see Jesus. It changes everything. When you see Jesus for who he is, and for Paul's on the road to Damascus, and it was a blinding light, and I don't know what your own story is for those of you who are Jesus followers, but it's supposed to change things. It's supposed to change things. You're supposed to look a little more like this. And every day is a process. Salvation isn't sanctification. You don't come to faith in Jesus and look like him day two, right? You're never gonna make it. But you're gonna get a lot closer. And you're gonna lean into the life that he created for you. But the only way to do it is the reality of his resurrection and the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. That's it. There is no other way. The only way is Jesus. And Paul says that, and he says, listen, when I pray, I'm submitting myself to Jesus, and I'm saying, Jesus, I see you as Savior, Lord of my life, and I follow you. So my prayer is really, God, lead me. Open up doors that I can't open up. Create opportunities that I can't create for myself. Help me to lead my family. Give me the right mindset. Help me to humble myself. Help me to exchange anxiety and worry in this season. Proverbs 16:20 puts it this way, those who trust in the Lord will be joyful. So do you trust? Do you trust? Some of us, our prayer life is so shallow because it's not led by the reality of his resurrection and the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. Do you believe that God can do things in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your finances, in our community? Do you believe that God can reconcile and restore relationships? I serve a God who created, and like every person you see, he created. Every person you see is an image bearer. And it doesn't matter what your political ideology is, what the color of your skin is, what side of the tracks that you grew up on, how much money you have in the bank. None of that junk matters. He created you and he loves you and he's for you. And I'm watching like the news cycle, and I'm seeing Black Lives Matter on one side. I'm seeing people who are angry. They're like, no, Blue Lives Matter. And people are like, no, All Lives Matter. It's like, y'all are so crazy. Like he's literally, every single one of you is an image bearer and he loves you and he's for you. And so my affirmation is for all of that, And so some of us in this season, man, we've lost hope. A season is so heavy. We're worried about family and friends. You're worried about your health. You're worried about the nation in which you live. You're worried about your finances. You're worried about your future. And you're worried about things that haven't even happened yet. And so part of it is that we haven't taken the time to do the important thing and go, okay, God, do things in our lives that we can't do. Lead us. Teach us. Help us to have humility. Help us to exchange worry for peace. I want you to do something for me. I want everybody, I'm going to end with a prayer. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to close out today. This clock up here tells me I got 4 minutes and 15 seconds. I'm going to do this thing, okay? Let's stand together. If you guys will stand with me, I'm going to pray for us. And in a season where it's just really weird to hold hands and all that good stuff, as a form of solidarity, I just want, for those of you who feel comfortable, there's nothing weird or, you know, mystical about what we're about to do, but if you just raise your hands in this place today, if you just raise your hands and just say, I just want you to raise your hands as a posture of humility, and just pray with me. I'm going to pray for the people in this room who've just, or you're so full of worry and anxiety and stress that God would just, you'd be able to hand that over to Him. Trust Him and find freedom in this season. All of the things that Isaiah 1 speaks to, that for those of you who feel poor in spirit, that you would experience forgiveness and grace in the message of the gospel of Jesus. You would know what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus, and all the other things that you worry about, they pale in comparison once you get to know Him a little bit better. But also for those of you that have been struggling with sin, I don't know what that looks like, if you've had an addiction or habitual struggle, or if you just, it's been a hard season, so you've said and done some things, or I don't know what that looks like, but a weight and a baggage and things you've just been carrying around, you need to let go in this space. I want you to find freedom from it. For those of you that have been praying, and coronavirus has made everyone pray about this, but been praying, am I in my sweet spot? Am I where I belong? God, am I doing the thing that you want me to do? I pray that you would find purpose in this season, and ultimately that we would all be able to make a difference in the lives of the people we come into contact with. So let me pray for peace, and let me pray that we would exchange worry for that peace. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for being able to gather as your church. Thank you for all the amazing families that make up what you've done, what you've created in Soma. This church is your church. You're growing it. Everything good that comes out of it, you did it. Every family that comes to fill a gap, every leader that comes who's graced to be able to build out what you're building, you've done it. And so I pray that you would continue to do it. Help us to have a posture of humility. Help us to seek you first, and help us in all things to have joy in the middle of what it is that we're going through, to choose it, to wake up every day and say, I choose it. Today I choose joy. Regardless of what happened, regardless of the bad news, regardless of what I'm going on at work, regardless of what the phone call that I got or whatever, I'm going to choose joy in the middle of this moment. And the only way to do that is the reality of your resurrection and the power of your Holy Spirit. And so if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, I'm going to tell you, man, it's going to be really hard for you to apply what I've talked about today without fully going all in and saying, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my life. Don't go another day. Don't go another day without following Him. The Bible tells us that when we have the faith, that faith, by the grace of God, is the thing that saves us. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to check boxes. You don't have to be good enough. You don't earn your way to heaven. You're never going to earn it. The only way you get there is by riding the coattails of Christ, is by submitting yourself to Him and seeing the cross and saying, God, I give you my life. So if you're here today and you want to give Jesus your life, man, I would love to lead you in a prayer. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. I'm sorry for the life I've lived. I made it about myself. I've been selfish, but I want to follow you. I want to choose joy, and I want the reality of your resurrection. I want the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to be able to do things. I want you to be able to do things in and through me that I never could have done on my own. And church, the same is true for the rest of us. God, give us just a sense of peace in this season, a sense of trust, a sense of knowing that you're on the throne, you're in control. So grateful to be able to gather in public, in person as your church. God, have your hand on every single family who's here. Protect us in this season. Open up doors, create opportunities, not only for Soma, but for the Big C Church. God, I'm praying for every single local church today, for all of the local pastors and leaders and people who are struggling about what to say and what to do and what next steps. God, give them the grace, give them the words, give them discernment. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.